Thank you to the band. In fact, thank you to Martin Luther. In fact, thank you to God for all that he brings in the way of strength to his people. We have looked over these past few weeks about the nature and the way that God describes himself to us in his very nature. The God who is loving, the God who is giving, here the God who is strong. And there are times, I guess, in all our lives when we feel that God is strong and on our side. There are those moments in our lives when we feel as if we are in partnership with a really strong God. Now, Major Susan and I, together with many of our colleagues, have just returned from officers' councils over these last 3 days, Wednesday to Friday. There will be another session of officers' councils from Monday to Wednesday, and we will uphold our territorial leaders and others who will be leading and speaking in those events. There are times when you come together as God's people and you feel strength. You feel that God is in the heart of all that you do, and you just know that God is really strong, that there's some really good things going on in the church universal. And for those of us within this company who have been to such events, you will know exactly what I'm speaking of. For those of you who have never experienced it and are never likely to experience it, though if you do want to experience it and become an officer, see me after the meeting, please. I'll see what we can sort out. Seriously? Seriously? If God is calling, then we must listen and respond. And whereas you used to have to be between 18 and 25 to go to the training college, it isn't like that anymore. Or 30 or 30-something when you went to the training college. And for your interest's sake, one of the first things that was done at councils was to recognise who in the past 2 years had become territorial envoys. And so 2 weeks into her appointment, Kim Wyard is called onto the platform along with about half a dozen other new territorial envoys, shaking hands with the territorial commander, no less, in public, and cheered and everything else like that. I don't know. It can only go up from there, can't it, for Kim? Bless her. But there are times when we come together as God's people and we feel strength. But I am painfully at times aware that when we go away from moments of rich and deep blessing, it is at that moment when our weakness is at its most pertinent to our situation. It's that typical mountaintop valley experience that I know that many of you will have experienced. You've had a great time, a great meeting, or a great reunion, as we've had throughout this year, or something really great has happened, and then you turn up on Monday morning and it's all back to reality again, and you think, where is that strength? Where has that gone? If we look into the pages of the Old Testament, page after page after page after page, we see references to God as strong, as the rock, as the shield, as the fortress, as the defender, as the one who is the solid ground onto which we can build, the one in whom we can trust, the one who makes everything okay. And then there's a sense of reality kicks in sometimes. Because however strong God is, that doesn't necessarily take away our frailty. It doesn't make us strong to know that God is strong, and sometimes we need to recognize that. You see, a little while ago, I had to take issue with somebody because they said something like, a Christian shouldn't experience depression. What? Excuse me? Are you sure? I don't see that in here anywhere. God knows our frailty. What was it the psalmist said? We started our meeting with Psalm 103. You know what we're like, God. We're frail. We're like dust. We're like the grass that the wind blows across and we fade away. That's not what a strong God means. And when I look around this congregation and I project out into the wider community, and I see the pain and the suffering and the illness and the dis-ease that many people suffer, and I align that with a strong God who heals all thy diseases, I think, does this make sense? Am I the only one that doesn't quite work out in my head what this is about? As I've said in previous weeks, I want us to look at God and how God is described in Scripture, and I want us to see how that is translated then into the life of Jesus. And I have to say that when I look into the life of Jesus, there is no reference bar one specifically to his strength. And that's when he was a young lad of about 13. And he grew in strength. The rest of his life, the rest of his ministry, those 30 years of preparation, those 3 years of ministry, actually, here's a little thought that crossed my mind as I was putting this together. It's 3 years since we arrived here. Christ had 3 years of ministry as a man on this earth. We're not going anywhere at the moment. And neither is our solid God, our strong God. But I did come across two references in the New Testament, one which is a parable that Jesus taught, and it is found in Luke chapter 11, those of you who have the Bible and you want to find that. It's an interesting little story that I don't think I have ever heard preached from a platform. Forgive me if I'm wrong or I don't get out much. And here, Luke 11 verse 14. One day Jesus cast a demon out of a man who couldn't speak, and the man's voice returned to him, and the crowd was amazed. But some said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. You see why this isn't usually Sunday morning material. Trying to test Jesus, others asked for a miraculous sign from heaven to see if he was from God. But Jesus knew their thoughts, so he told this story. Any kingdom at war with itself is doomed. A divided home is also doomed. But you say I am empowered by the prince of demons, but if Satan is fighting against himself by empowering me to cast out his demons, how can his kingdom survive? And if I'm empowered by the prince of demons, what about your own followers? They cast out demons too, so they will judge you for what you have said. But if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And he says this: for when Satan, who is completely armed, guards his palace, it is safe until someone who is stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons and carries off his belongings. Until someone who is stronger. In vain, the mightiest powers oppose, for God is stronger than his foes. We've sung it this morning in our worship meeting. And in John chapter 16, as Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus concludes his words to his disciples by saying this: fear not, for I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. There's nothing stronger than God. There's nothing stronger than God in Jesus. There is nothing stronger than God in Jesus indwelling us through his Holy Spirit. So it's okay then, isn't it, Major? Well, I go back to what I said earlier. Because I know my own frailty and weakness. I know that I am not strong. Well, it depends how you measure strength, doesn't it? You know, I used to be able to do press-ups. I'm not sure I can now. I used to be able to run middle distance. 1,500 metres was mine. Finish with a good sprint at the end of 1,500 metres. I'm not sure I could do 15 now. My weakness is all too evident to myself. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, yep, me too. Yep, me as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, verse 7 and 8. Paul says, even though I've received wonderful revelations from God, I was given a thorn in the flesh. And three times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, my grace is sufficient, for my power works best in your weakness. Why should that be? Why should it be that when we are weak, God's power is more effective? I think it's very simple, you know. The strong think they can do it all themselves. The powerful and mighty think that they are untouchable. Mr. Teflon, they call some people, don't they? Nothing sticks. There are people in our world today who ride roughshod over the weak and the vulnerable. There are people in this world who don't give anything. Careful what I say there. Careful what you say. Who don't give anything for other people's thoughts and feelings. Do they need God's strength? But those who are weak, those who wake every morning with that sense of, okay, let's see if I can get through today, they are the ones who, by trusting implicitly in the grace of the Lord Jesus and in the presence of the Holy Spirit and in the strength of God, and they demonstrate that and they witness to that in their lives, they are the ones in whom God's strength is at work and seen. You may pray time and time again, as Paul prayed time and time again, that your weakness, your thorn in the flesh, whatever that may be taken away from you. But the truth is, God works through our weakness. And in Ephesians, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says this: I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you inner strength through his Holy Spirit. That's the strength of God. That's the power of God at work, so that you may know he is at work. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong in Christ. And the frailty and the illness that we live with, the tears that flow, the times of sadness and searching and doubt and fear, they are there, but God is there too. And we need no other than the strength of God in Christ Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And our weakness is transformed by his strength. We're going to sing that.